As a farmer or rancher, you know that agricultural land is not like other real estate. We know that too. Come see the experts in agriculture, American Ag Credit. Whether you're buying property, building, or making improvements, American Ag Credit is here to help with fixed rates, variable rates, long and short-term loans. Unique solutions tailored to your unique needs. Visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us on KVON 1440 AM radio. This is the St. Helena Farmers Market hosting Farmers Fresh Hour, brought to you by our sponsor, American Ag Credit, money for agriculture. Thank you to KVON for allowing us to share the stories of some of our vendors, local luminaries, and stewards of the farming community. My name is Arwen Gallenkamp, and I'm the market educator for the St. Helena Farmers Market. I have three fantastic guests with me today in the studio. I'm so pleased to be sharing some of what they do with the market and how they are deeply involved in the St. Helena community. First, John Kelly, owner of Napa Valley Leathercraft, artist, man of many talents, which we will hear about, and longtime St. Helena Farmers Market artisan vendor. Second, Haley Kelly, new friend of the market, lifetime resident of St. Helena, here and there, a little bit of breaks in between, founder of Sweet Day Confections, and a member of the Oak Avenue Catering family. And Kevin Folan, co-founder, owner, and production director of Conti Mon Provisions, a vendor, and a much-loved part of the St. Helena Farmers Market. So you'll hear from all of them today. Our market is located in Crane Park in St. Helena. We're open every Friday, May through October, 7:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. So this is our last month of the season here. Our weekly market provides an amazing and exceptional produce from local farms and growers, as well as a wide variety of prepared foods and beautiful artisan goods. And we're privileged to hold a 501c3 nonprofit status, which allows us to focus on a variety of community educational programs for both children and adults. As I said, we're entering our last month of the market and enjoying the bounty of this very kind of summer-like fall season in the Bay Area. So we have strawberries and gourds at the same time. We're proud to say that this is our 32nd season at Crane Park. It's a long time established part of the community. We hope that all of you today have a chance to come out and visit us on Friday mornings. And without further ado, I would like to introduce John Kelly. John, as I said, owner and founder of Napa Valley Leathercraft. A Welsh expatriate and a longtime fixture at the St. Helena Farmers Market. So John, Napa Valley Leathercraft, i.e. you, produces handmade belts, bags, dog leashes, and other really tasteful and durable custom items. You come to us from far off British Isles, and you'll hear that later as he talks, with a wealth of experience and talents and stories to tell. So I understand you took a rather circuitous route from your native Wales to the Napa Valley, covering many areas and careers in the process. You and I were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, and it's very lengthy and involved. Can you give the audience just a bit of an idea of your great adventures and how you got here and some of the highlights? It is as far as, like, you know, all the things that you've done to get here.
Well, in a nutshell, I got on a plane in London and landed in Chicago. That's about it.
Well, a little bit more of a nutshell, maybe. A little bit bigger of a nutshell.
Okay. How I got you? 1974, Britain was in turmoil, total turmoil, with the devaluation of the pound and a very unstable government at the time. And so I was part of what they call, or they refer to later on, as the brain drain. I don't feel as though I was a brain, but I was part of the drain, no matter what. I worked for a company in Britain that was a defense contractor. And we did a lot of work in the underwater weapons establishment and also missile systems and the rest of it. So I came over here as actually an experimental machinist and research and development. And needless to say, this country is the spearhead of aerospace. And so I started working for a company over in Fairfield as a machinist, as an experimental machinist. And also we worked closely with the design department. And they specialized in egress systems for aircraft mostly. And that's the way a pilot and his crew can get out of a plane if necessary. We did all the ejection systems for right. that.
Egress, not regress.
What's that? Egress, get not
out.
Regress. Yeah, 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 you want to get out. You
get don't out.
Wanna,
don't stay
you don't
in.
Want to stay in, you know. You want to get the hell out of there. But anyway, and from that, I got very tired of doing that and pursued other interests. And I went into the antiques business for a while, which was a hobby. And ultimately ended up, after a stint of public records research and a paralegal, I ended up doing leather work.
See, so like I said, you haven't done very much.
I haven't
you
done
know.
Very
yeah,
much.
Not so much.
Yeah, not a lot. Not
so
a lot.
You. When did you really first start working in leather?
Okay, right. That's it's a very interesting process. During the early 50s and 60s, predominantly early 1950s, there was a tremendous surplus of leather belts and strapping on the market from the Second World War. There was a lot of stuff left over that was military. And so getting hold of leather belts and straps was pretty easy. I could go to a second-hand store and buy a whole bunch of that stuff. Well, I was making guitar straps because I'm a guitarist.
Because
as well.
Of one of your other
yeah,
careers.
Yeah. And and so I was selling the guitar straps to other musicians. And if you know musicians, you know they don't have any money. So needless to say, that was a losing proposition. You don't make money doing that.
Well,
and
yeah.
So, and then I continued to make belts and stuff.
And this was when you were very, when you
yeah,
were
when
young.
Yeah, probably I was a teens.
Right.
Because I started playing guitar, my first paying gig, I was 12 years old.
Well,
and
there you go. All these people starting young in the businesses that they're doing.
Yeah, well, when you're standing on a stage and you're playing guitar and you love doing what you're doing and somebody pays you money for it,
there you
know,
go.
You can see the future. You know?
So you were piecing together to sort of,
yeah.
Not antique at the time, but repurposed
yeah.
leather and making it into
yeah,
guitar straps.
It was all surplus. And in Wales, it's a predominantly mining community. It was when I was young, it was a strong mining,
right.
coal mining community.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of leather belts available, a lot of leather belts everywhere. So they weren't, you know, it wasn't a scarcity to find those things.
Right.
And that's basically what I did. I converted those into other belts or whatever, you know.
Right. So you were upcycling back before it was a popular.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
We were recycling cows even back then, you know. So
you have been a regular at many of the Valley's farmers markets for years.
Yeah.
How long have you been a vendor with the San Lino Farmers Market, and was it always as Napa Valley Leather Works?
No, I've been a vendor for San Lino Farmers Market when San Lino Farmers Market was over at Railroad, and which has got to be over 30 years ago. If you're saying that,
so almost from the beginning.
Almost from the beginning,
right?
Yes, I remember when it started, and so. I was a musician then.
And you were playing
and,
your
playing
guitar?
Music. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I had a partner, and she and I played for 30 years together.
Wow. And then you've been doing other farmers markets throughout the valley as well?
Napa and Calistoga. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to create Napa Valley Leather Works and amongst your many adventures, and kind of how did that happen, and how has it evolved over the years?
Well, I was part and parcel of a vineyard out at Caneros. I was kind of like the manager, but not really a manager, not an official capacity. And I did a very short viticulture course up in UC Davis and got very interested in the whole process. And in the process of doing that, the farm workers out there were going through belts like you wouldn't believe. They were buying the cheap plastic belts from Walmart or Kmart or wherever.
For the pruners.
For their Felcos and for
mm-hmm.
their other stuff.
Right.
The Coronas. And so anyway, I thought, well, you know, these guys need some leather belts. So it's kind of a no-brainer.
Right? You've done this before.
So I made a couple of belts up for a friend of mine. He gave them to a couple of guys in the vineyard, and they had them for about 6 months, and they came back with all kinds of things that were wrong with them, including one that came, or two that came back with a broken buckle, and the belt was in an unbelievable condition. And I said to the guy, I said, what the heck was going on with this? You know, what did they do with this belt? They evidently towed a truck.
So they
put two belts together and towed a truck.
There you
so
go.
So that was kind of, I'm going, okay, these guys are nuttier than I thought they were.
Multi-purpose belts.
Yeah, really. So anyway, I thought, okay, that's kind of interesting. But that's where that whole idea came from with the work belts that I've got. And also the smaller belts that I do, the dress belts, those are originally designed for waiters, waitresses, and kitchen staff.
Also for weddings, John.
Also for weddings
oh,
as well.
Did
yes.
you have one John, for your wedding?
Yeah. John did it for,
oh,
for my
fantastic.
Wedding.
So Kevin was representing.
Yeah, Kevin wears my belts all the time.
Absolutely. I'm wearing one right now.
There we go. See?
So anyway, that's where it all came from. And right now we've got a good line on belts and bags and stuff. And then a really good friend of mine, Brianna Hooten from St. Helena, she's making these really cool little purses, and they're more of a card holder, like credit card and business card holders.
Right.
And she's making these journals, and she's been doing.
So you're
really
featuring
well.
her work as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, her stuff is on sale there. Great, it's gonna be great Christmas stuff.
Yeah,
it's
so
it's gonna be great. Christmas
sounds
stuff.
And any other new products that you're working on?
Just bags right now. My workshop is in complete turmoil because Brianna and I last week we kind of picked it up, shook it, and threw all the crap out.
so you dusted the corners, you mean, John?
We did more than that. She walked in there. She said, "You can't." She couldn't believe that this was actually producing anything. You know.
Takes yeah. a woman's
influence,
because
it was an evolution.
You know?
See, the shop was in complete evolution. And,
evolution.
I never thought that the leather business was going to take off, and it
right.
went crazy.
And so then you've just been busy and haven't and
well,
yes, haven't
shop.
Revamped the workshop.
It was
workshop.
A wood shop. It was a metal shop. It was right. a welding shop. It was my office. Well, as a paralegal.
We
and
all
now it's
have
a leather shop,
multi-purpose
you know?
Rooms. In
well,
our
it
houses.
Never cleaned up in between. See,
right.
that was a problem.
So now you and Brianna are she's sharing your studio space and.
Well, not sharing the studio space yet. No, there's a lot of logistics that have got to be worked
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
But right now we're just trying to get. Product. That's it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Fantastic. And then recently I've been noticing you've got some new fabulous belt buckles as well, adding some sort of
yeah.
bling factor to the really.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about those.
Yeah.
No.
Those are not handcrafted.
No,
by you. Okay,
no.
Gotcha.
I don't make them. And I wish I did, but I don't make them.
Next career.
Well, no, I'm not going to go there.
Come on, John.
No. Actually, to be honest with you, I have attempted making them, so I'm not going to go there.
Right.
But no, I don't. I'm a great believer in whatever we sell at the market needs to be produced by us.
Right.
I'm a great believer in that. And I feel as though it's not. It's kind of compromising my ideals. The reason I got them there is because people have asked me for them.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I said, okay, I'll carry a couple, but I'm not going to carry a whole.
It's always that balance.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm balancing it out.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't see the sense in doing
so,
that.
So the St. Helena Farmers Market ends in at the end of October. Where over the winter might people be able to find your leather goods during the upcoming gifting season?
Well, right now we're starting, the Napa Farmers Market is starting to do the winter season.
Right.
I'll be at Napa Farmers
okay.
Market.
Fantastic.
Every other Saturday.
Okay.
Because Calistoga's been doing the winter season, worked all winter for the past, God knows, I don't even know how long they've been doing it. They've been doing it a long time. And I've been working it for the past 4 years that I know of, maybe 5 years. And it's been very successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's more successful than people would credit. I've done better sales when it's been pouring down with rain. And you got 7 vendors.
It's when people
you,
are thinking
wonder,
about what they need.
You wonder
first.
Where people are coming from.
Leather
know?
Goods.
Yeah, and and so it's really interesting to see the dynamics of that, and it's going to be interesting to see what Napa is like, because unfortunately Napa in the car park down at the cinemas, I mean it's going to be
it's
windy.
It's going to be a little
it's
rainy.
It's going to be cold.
Yeah.
And it's going to be wet.
Yeah.
And. It's going to be interesting.
It's always a new. It's always a new adventure. New endeavors. And then, are there any other markets?
Just saying, my shirt says
Winter's
Napa
Market?
Valley Leathercraft, Melvita. It doesn't say Sonoma. It doesn't say Marin. Napa Valley.
We have a winter market in St. Helena. Are you involved in that? The holiday market, isn't there a...
I'm not involved in that,
gotcha.
No.
Gotcha.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I hope that everybody gets a chance to see and enjoy some of John's leather works I bought my husband a belt, and he is very, very pleased with it. And so they're very durable, long-lasting, and maybe you could haul a car. I mean,
you could talk out with it, right?
if you get stuck, just put two together. There you have it. Well, thank you so much, John. We look forward to featuring your amazing work at the market for years to come. And we're going to just take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back at you.
You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.
And I am the market educator for the St. Helena Farmers Market, just in case you missed that. You are listening to KVON 1440 Farmers Fresh Hour, sponsored by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. If you're just joining us in the studio, we have three guests, all part of the St. Helena community and part of the St. Helena Farmers Market community as well. John Kelly, who we just talked to about Napa Valley Leathercraft, his adventures and many career paths that led him to become an artisan. Next, Haley Kelly is a new friend of the market, native of St. Helena, and founder of Sweet Day Confections. And Kevin Folan, who we'll talk to in a little bit, co-founder and owner of Contimo Provisions. So we just talked to John, as I said, and his many worldly and perhaps out-of-world adventures, out of the airplane for sure. Next up, I'm happy to introduce Haley Kelly. And no relation to John Kelly, just a coincidence. Well, I guess it's a Kelly-heavy morning this morning. So she is a pastry chef and founder of Sweet Day Confections, a new business in St. Helena here, member of the Oak Avenue Catering family, literally a member, and a new friend to the St. Helena Farmers Market. So, Haley, from St. Helena. Sorry. You definitely come from a family of chefs, pastry chefs, and culinary professionals. Can you give the audience a little bit of an idea? You and I were talking about it yesterday, and it's definitely a family business. Your entire family is involved in the culinary world, and that's such a unique thing. Most families don't all do the same thing.
Yes, pretty much there's six family members, and five out of the six of us are in the kitchen. And my brother is a supervisor for Oak Avenue. My other brother is an executive chef in San Francisco. My sister is an executive chef for the Meadows in Napa, and she runs the whole dining facilities. And my mother is pastry chef for Oak Avenue. My dad, executive chef. So yeah, it's definitely in the family.
Yes. So
you call it a curse or a gift? I don't know.
Right? It's amazing that everybody decided to follow that path. So. With your parents at the helm of the catering company, obviously you started out really young in the kitchen.
Yeah. I pretty much grew up in that kitchen.
Right.
Before my parents took it over, we all worked for the company as schlep servers, prep or whatever. And my family took it over. It'll be 10 years ago, this coming year, 2019. It'll be 10 years they've had it as their own,
right.
So it's really exciting.
Yeah, it's fabulous. It's a great, great institution. So after that experience, you decided to become professional, and that led you to train at the Culinary Institute of America at Hyde Park in New York.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that prestigious program and why you chose it, and kind of a little bit of the highlights of that experience.
Well, I went for my brother's graduation, and I just kind of fell in love with the campus. I'd never been to upstate New York before, and in the fall, it was just so beautiful.
A little different than St. Helena.
They actually have seasons, you know. So I kind of already had it set in my mind that I wanted to go there. And I always, I grew up watching my mom just make bread and pastries and everything.
Right.
And I always kind of knew that's what I wanted to do. And so when I graduated high school, I worked at the Model Bakery for about 6 months before. And then I moved to New York when I was 18. And I was out there until 2011. And I came back to St. Helena. and I started working for my parents and for the model bakery this simultaneously.
Oh, my goodness. So you were back with model again.
Yeah. I was doing doubles, trying to just save up money, you know, broke culinary kid.
Right. It sounds romantic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, it is.
But Kevin can testify to.
Right.
So was it a 3-year program?
I did the associates,
gotcha,
which is only 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I did my externship at Olivetto's in Oakland.
Okay.
For 18 weeks. And then I went back to New York to finish the program.
Gotcha. And so you always had pastry in your mind. That
yeah.
was what you that was
Yeah,
your,
I went yeah. for baking and pastry.
Right. Fantastic. So obviously, yeah, coming back, working for the family business, working for Model Bakery. I mean, Model Bakery is obviously an institution here in San Leon, and I'm sure you learned a lot
I
there.
I did, yeah. I kind of learned my, like, backbone of baking there.
Right.
And then, obviously, I learned a lot from my externship. Jenny Raven was my pastry chef, and I learned. She's kind of, like, always been my mentor.
Right.
She just taught me how to work. I never worked in a restaurant before. So, and then after that, I totally fell in love with the line, as you may know too. It's kind of addicting. Rush.
Right. Yeah. You then spent some time in San Francisco at Purbaco?
Yes, I was at Purbaco for 2 years, and then I went on to the Absinthe Group, and I was there for 4 years, and I just left them in July.
So you've been deep in the restaurant business.
Yeah.
Well steeped. And now you're back with Oak Avenue Catering,
yes,
your family's business, and starting Sweet Day Confections. So
yes,
tell us about that and what you're offering and what people can look forward to.
So it's basically I wanted to start my own cake business. Because I've always wanted to make cakes, and I've been making cakes at Absinthe for private dining for the past 4 years.
Right.
And it kind of sucks because you get to make these cakes, but you don't ever get any credit for
it. Don't
the,
get to
the
see
cakes,
it.
And nobody really gets to say, oh, that was, you know,
right,
that was great. So, and I came back, and people were actually asking me for wedding cakes, like the market here was like low. Nobody could find any really good wedding cakes. They'd have to outsource the Bay Area, and it was
right,
extremely expensive. So I was like, I was talking to my dad and a couple members of Oak Avenue, and I was like, why don't I like start making cakes out of the business as kind of
right,
like a side business? And we're like, that's a great idea.
okay.
So
one more thing to do.
Yeah, right. Just add that on. So that's kind of how it all began. I've made about 3 or 4 cakes already,
right,
and they've been very successful.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
And so size, you do small, big, kind of everything in between?
Pretty much from 10 to like 200 people.
Excellent.
Can do it all.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome. And obviously there's lots of market for both wedding and celebratory suites in the area. So, you know, as a one-woman show, as a, you know, sort of the difference between being the anonymous cake maker for a larger restaurant group versus being, you know, a proprietor of your own business, kind of what are some of what differs in what you are able to offer and the experience of your patrons purchasing cakes and sweets from you?
I think since I'm the only one making everything, that it's just very personal and they're very customized cakes.
Well, no, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, so somebody—it's
not like a large, like a bakery corporation or anything.
Right.
It's just literally I'm making everything from scratch.
Yeah.
So and delivering
right,
to the venue or wherever. So.
Right. So you get to really understand what people are looking for and
yes,
and customize things for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit, do you have any signature specialties that maybe we can entice the listeners with, make them a little hungry here at 10:30 on Monday morning?
I would say...
Thursday morning. What day is it?
It's Thursday.
I don't know.
My strawberry crumb cake is, I use a vanilla yogurt cake, which is super moist. I feel like there's a stigma around cakes that they can't look great and also taste good. And
I
hate dry cake.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah. I hate dry buy cakes, so all my cakes are super moist. And this one actually has a strawberry crumb on the inside made from dehydrated strawberries. And it has a super vibrant pink color that's all natural. It's not dyed or anything. And also my chocolate blackout cake is extra chocolatey and extra moist. That's one of my favorites. And it's one of the...
I'm sure that it's popular.
It is very popular. Yeah. Thank you. At a loss for words.
Right? So does the strawberry crumb have a texture to it? Is it, or does it?
It does.
So you get that little bit of that crunch of that dehydrated strawberry. Oh, fantastic. And I'm sure it is a very, very fabulous pink color when once mixed.
It is, yes.
Fabulous. So, well, perhaps we might be able to treat our farmers markets guests to some of your sweet treats. But is there anywhere that anybody can find you online, get in touch with you if they're looking for that perfect cake?
Yes, so I have an Instagram, Sweet Day Confections, and my website will be up within the week, which is sweetdayconfections.com, and it'll highlight all of my cakes, and you can see pictures, and it'll have all the information, and my email is also on my Instagram page, which is sweetdayconfections @gmail.com, so you can find me there.
Fabulous, and we will definitely put your information up so that people can link to the farmers market website as well. So I am so glad to hear of your adventures, and welcome back to the Valley.
Thank you.
And like I said, Oak Avenue is a perennial favorite of mine, having used them many times and relied on your expertise and your fabulous products. So we're really excited that you are back and that we can involve Oak Avenue a little bit in the St. Helena Farmers Market. So thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.
Welcome back to the Farmer's Fresh Hour on KVON 1440 AM and streaming live at KVON.com. We're here with St. Helena Farmers Market, and I'm your host, Arwen Gallenkamp. We've got three fabulous people in the studio with us today, in case you're just joining us. John Kelly, owner of Napa Valley Leathercraft. Haley Kelly, no relation, a new friend of the market and founder of Sweet Day Confections and a member of the Oak Avenue Catering family. And finally, our last guest, Kevin Follin, co-founder, owner, and production director of Contimo Provisions, because he doesn't have very much going on, a vendor, and a much-loved part of the St. Helena Farmers Market, and by the way, a new dad, because, there's just not enough, to do, otherwise. So all kinds of new adventures going on, and fabulous things that you're doing. So can you give us a quick overview of what Contimo Provisions offers and where the name comes from?
Yeah. So Ryan and I started out in fine dining. When we first met, we actually met working at a fatted calf charcuterie in Napa. I was the head butcher, and he was the production manager there, the general manager there. And we found we could work really seamlessly together. We liked the approach that the other person thought, and we kind of got to our conclusions very, very different ways, but usually ended up at kind of the same place.
Right.
We talked a lot about things we liked about fine dining and restaurants, and we talked about things that we maybe didn't like about it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we didn't like about it was it wasn't accessible to everybody.
Right.
We have so much great food in the Valley, for some restaurants to eat at it, like as a line cook, I had to save up for like 3 months to eat at some of like the restaurants that I worked at. So we wanted to talk about a way where we could bring in all of this great stuff and have it accessible to everybody. And we felt like the most democratic thing was a sandwich. Everybody puts stuff between two pieces of bread. And so we decided that was kind of the direction where we would go, where it would, avail people to try things because it's not expensive and it's not intimidating.
Approachable as a sandwich.
Exactly.
Right. So in the original name of the business was?
It was called The Proper Sandwich.
Right.
We actually got sued for that, which made us feel kind of legit.
Right.
Which was odd in the moment of like, all right, cool, we're having some effect.
Somebody's noticing us from far away.
Unintended consequences.
Exactly, exactly. I was like, okay, well, we're clearly pushing somebody's button, and that's good. Contimo is the con part is Conley, which is my middle name, and Timo is Timothy, which is Ryan's first name.
Okay.
And so we put them together, and after it, we sat with it for like a day or two. We both thought we actually like that name better. So all things worked out, I think, well for us.
So, I mean, it was branching out from just being only sandwiches to a little bit more.
Our plan had been to be to go from, say, The Proper Sandwich to like The Proper Pasta or The Proper Butcher Shop or The Proper, and we could kind of brand it that way. But because of this, the provisions allowed us to kind of extend what we do. So we make pretty much everything from scratch. We make some of our breads when we buy some of our breads, but pretty much everything else we do from scratch. So we get whole animals in and break them down, and that's why we have sort of a varied number of items where, you know, we make hams, we make sausages, we make bacon, we make roast beef, we make pastrami, we make all different kinds of meats, and we make all the sauces and sides. and that was all from making everything from scratch and having that that umbrella of provisions as opposed to, as you said, more of a narrowed scape of like a sandwich shop.
So you've obviously been in the culinary world for a while. So when did you first start in professionally, and sort of where has that taken you?
Professionally, I started when I was 25. I was in Davis, and I was just looking for something to do. My parents had owned a restaurant before.
I was gonna say, it's in the family again.
Yeah, it is. my parents owned a restaurant before my brother and I were born, and my mom started a restaurant and culinary program at my high school. And so food was like, we went to Catholic school, and a way to get a break on tuition was my parents would cook fundraising dinners, which we always got included in.
Roped into,
yeah,
you mean?
I was going to say lumped into, but I wanted to, you know, give my parents some love.
Yeah, I know, about fundraising.
But yeah, so making food and being around food, my parents cooked, we never went out to eat. And so making food was always something that was, I think, admired in my family, and something that was very important. I had been working in restaurants since I was 14, and I had never quite had the bravery to go into the back of the house.
Gotcha. So
one day I said, you know, I'm just going to do it. So I started working up in Davis as a restaurant that's still around called the Little Prague, and that was my first kitchen job.
Fantastic.
And then that's taken me to both coasts. I've been in Boston and New York.
So you ventured East Coast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It sort of feels, I'm sure Haley can attest to, East Coast. It's kind of like entertainment. Like, you have to go there and
experience,
cut
that.
Your teeth and see what that's all about, because it's very different than here, and it really
a little
helps.
More serious. I mean,
I would honestly just say different.
Yeah.
There's certain things that they're more serious about. There's certain things that they're a little bit more lax about. Mm-hmm. But the East Coast is very different, and the personalities are very different. I can't speak for Haley, but I know I got yelled at a lot more on the East Coast than I did here.
Yeah, definitely got yelled at.
Right. Different style.
All of that teaches you how to trust yourself and trust your food. And if you think something's good, then it probably is.
Right.
And if somebody comes at you and you can defend yourself, then you're probably fine. so it gets you a lot thicker skin and the other thing that actually Haley touched on was seasonality. Like, when I was in Boston, you know, growing season was like 6 to 8 months long if you were really lucky.
Not like here.
No, and so that's actually where a lot of my provisional thought process came from. Things like pickling and fermenting
old school
were important, Because like in February in Boston, there's parsnips, there's potatoes, there's carrots,
right.
There's parsnips, there's potatoes, and there's carrots.
and no strawberries.
Right. So we would do things like we would pickle peaches, and then you had a peach dish in February that kind of got you through that.
A little brightness.
Yeah. I need something to remind me that it's not always dark right. and drab.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. That's fabulous. So, I mean, all these experiences really lend themselves to an overall understanding of various aspects of the culinary world. So what led you back to California and then to Napa?
The produce, honestly, it's spectacularly good out here.
Yeah.
It's great on the East Coast, but the seasons are so long and so much land is still dedicated to it. And actually, I came to Napa because of the fatted calf. I wanted to most of the restaurants that I worked in, we had pretty defined butchery programs,
right.
But I wanted to be a butcher and I wanted to.
And it was very cutting edge at that
yeah.
time. I mean,
yeah.
he was really doing some amazing things. So both of you guys landed there mm-hmm. and experienced some of that. That was definitely a lot of buzz happening at the beginning. Well, still now, but so both you and your business partner Ryan obviously met at Fatted Calf. I said I have. How did you meet? Haha, meet. Anyway, so
through meat, actually.
Yeah, through meat, right?
Ryan loves puns, so he's gonna really appreciate
it. So
that.
There you
Thank
go.
Thank you for that.
So obviously we've kind of covered, how that melded into your interest in charcuterie and provisions and then kind of where obviously there's a big gap between thinking about it and doing it. So kind of how did you guys like, okay, we're gonna start our business, we're gonna do this, and this is the land of many restaurants, obviously, mm-hmm. and lots of culinary activity. So just give us a little bit of insight into that process and into the beginnings of what you guys did with your relations with wineries and you were kind of a pop-up and how did that all work?
So we lived together and we cooked together pretty much every night for a little over a year. And through all of that kind of casual conversation, we found that we had really similar ideas in the direction that we wanted to go. And we're both really debt averse. The restaurant industry is just like chock full of people in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of set up our business as a way to avoid major debt.
Right.
So it was a way of how can we earn money without having to be beholden to somebody else, or having to take on investors or have to answer. And then with our cost point being so low, it didn't require a ton of startup money.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to kind of scrape together with what we had. And we felt like we weren't going to take something because the next step was necessary. We're going to take things when the next step kind of made itself available.
Right.
So we didn't want to sign a lease for something because people wanted us in a place. We wanted to sign a lease when we knew we could afford it and we had like a fleshed out idea of
right.
what we were going to do.
Right. So that, I'm sure that took a lot of effort on your part as far as establishing the relationships with the wineries and are there any other like fundamental relationships that you established during that time be able to offer your goods to the end client?
Yeah. Well, first I want to say thank you to Aaron Pooley and my wife, Emily Folan. Aaron Pooley is Ryan's lady. And Emily's my wife.
Takes lots of patience to
and
be it,
and like financial
married
support,
and or involved, right?
Financial support, bringing things to and from. I mean, my wife does laundry. You know, they do so many things. It really does take a community. And then somebody who I think deserves a special shout out is Barb Parr. She's the kitchen manager at the Covenant Presbyterian Church, which is where
your commercial kitchen is.
Commercial kitchen mm-hmm. is. And she's been fundamental in finding us locations, finding us people that kind of think like-minded, and then also just encouraging everybody that she knows, which is really varied
and
pretty vast,
yeah.
To come check us out. So she's been really fundamental in allowing us to to move forward.
Right. It does take a lot of people to make things happen.
It does. It does. It really does.
So you are creating sort of movable feasts for guests at various locations before you now have settled on a little bit of a brick and mortar model.
Yeah. So we were doing pop-ups. So actually, the farmers market for like 3 years was our primary place to find us. So,
right.
And then we did delivery as well because nobody delivers in Napa and everybody likes to.
Or it's really, really expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So how long have you been with the farmers market?
We've been with the Napa Farmers Market. This is our fifth year, and this is our fourth year with
the Santa Elena. Yeah, well, you are definitely a favorite. I know that that there's a lot of people that stop by for pre-work and pre-school lunches.
Yeah.
And provisions. So, like I said, we're really excited to hear about your new location at CIA at Copia. So can you tell us a little bit about that new bricks and mortar experience? What is available what people can enjoy while they come visit you there?
Yeah, sure. So it's at 500 First Street. So it's directly behind the Oxbow Public Market. We're at the box office, which is out front on the left-hand side right as you enter the Copia building. And we make hot biscuits and sandwiches to order. We also have all of our provisions there. So we do bacon, we do sausages, we do marinated chickens, and we do special meal once a week that we call our CoPro meal. So this week, for example, it's a marinated pork roast.
Oof, darn, that sounds bad. yum. So with the holidays coming up, I know you guys have a lot of fabulous things to offer. Everyone starts to really stress about the Thanksgiving turkey and, you know, how can Contimo help out those who want the perfect turkey without all the fuss?
So we brine, debone, and stuff a turkey. What that involves is all of those things. We take out everything but the drumstick and the wings. And then we season it for you, and then that gets filled with the bread stuffing and gets re-sewn so that it looks like a full bird. That comes with a few quarts of stock, and then we have various salads, and we offer biscuits that you can have as well. The thing we like about the turkey is it's 100% yield because there's no bones to it. It cooks about 2 hours less than any other size turkey that would have bones in it because right. You're not cooking through that bone density. It's fully seasoned. It comes with a drip pan, and it comes with all of this stock for
right. Okay, right, ready to go, and you get this, and you get stock so you can make gravy
and soup and the next day.
Everybody, this is a no-brainer. If you want a stress-free holiday, it sounds like we need to hook you up with a with a turkey. And people can order those online.
Yes, they can come to our website's contimonapa.com. And you can also email us at eat@contimonapa.com.
That's an easy email to remember.
We figured if you want to eat at Napa or at Contimo in Napa, then it's already built in.
You got it.
So you can order there or email us with any questions. And we will be having our order form for Thanksgiving coming up early next week.
Awesome. Okay, well, that sounds amazing. I think everybody should take advantage of that for sure. Are there any other provisions that you'll be making, especially for the holiday season?
We do like a grain salad with delicata squash that's really nice. We have all of our biscuits. So if you don't feel like baking your own bread, that's a really great feature.
Okay, so the biscuits are very I keep piping in about the biscuits, but they're very, very popular at the Santa Elena Farmers Market. I think they sell out quickly, and everybody tries to get there early so that we can so they can get their biscuit from Kevin. So Kevin will also be at the market tomorrow as part of our lecture series featuring one of these fabulous rolled deboned creations, Ballantine or Galantine. So we're really excited to have him there. And thank you so much for sharing about all the things that you do and all these amazing culinary creations, I'm sure everybody is a little hungrier right now than when they started listening to the show. So after we'll be right back after a quick commercial break.
As a farmer or rancher, you know that agricultural land is not like other real estate. We know that too. Come see the experts in agriculture, American Ag Credit. Whether you're buying property, building, or making improvements, American Ag Credit is here to help with fixed rates, variable rates, long and short-term loans. Unique solutions tailored to your unique needs. Visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
Thank you for joining us this morning on KVON 1440 AM, the Farmer's Fresh Hour, brought to you by Ag Credit and Money for Agriculture. Fantastic guests that we've had this morning. So appreciative of KVON and American Ag Credit for sponsoring the show. We hope that today's listeners will have a chance to join us at the Farmers Market on Friday, located in beautiful Crane Park, St. Helena, Fridays, 7:30 a.m. to 12 p.m., May through October. We have a lot more in store just in this last month of the market. Tomorrow, as I said, we'll have Kevin Follin, who will be doing Ballantine and Galantine. He's the owner of Coney Moore Provisions, and he will be giving a market lecture series. These are boned and stuffed and rolled meats. Kevin will show us how to debone a chicken and create an amazing holiday-worthy dish. And there will be samples, so I wouldn't miss it if I were you. that will start at 10:30. And don't we all wish we had sharp knives and the talent to do this at home? We would love to thank MIV Insurance Services, LLC, for their sponsorship of the Market Lecture Series. Speaking of sharp knives, Mike from the Perfect Edge Sharpening will also be at the market tomorrow. So bring your knives, your tools, anything that needs a little sharpening up, and he will take care of that while you enjoy your shopping. Christine, our face painter, will be back for the last two markets of the month. If the kids have missed her for the duration, bring them by, or yourself. Maybe you can be some special Halloween designs. So I'm sure that that will be a fun addition. Shannon Kelly of Oak Avenue Catering will be joining us at the chef's table on October 12th with butternut squash and foraged mushroom bread pudding. That will be a fun demonstration, also with samples, 10:30 a.m. on October 12th. And stay tuned for their newest venture, Out on a Limb, which is a fantastic new food truck in the valley. You'll be seeing it around. Hopefully, maybe you'll see it at the market in early spring. And thanks to Breslau Vineyards for their sponsorship of our Chef's Table series. Also, please join us for our fabulous Cinema Bites series at Cameo Theater in St. Helena. November 5th is The Theater of Life, which is a remarkable story of Chef Massimo Bottura, who joined 60 other of the world's top chefs to transform food that was destined to be thrown away into delicious and amazing meals for Italy's poorest and neediest people. Really an amazing story of the culinary world coming together to create delicious food for people that might not be able to normally enjoy it. And somebody who creates delicious food for people, Christopher Costo, will be doing the small bites for that. So something that you probably shouldn't miss again, November 5th for that. I'll be in the market classroom with Kids Storytime tomorrow from 9:30 to 10. And thanks for the visitors from the St. Helena Elementary School for coming. We had a great time exploring the five senses and applying those five senses to their experience at the St. Helena Market. Don't forget to stop by Aroma Flora and check out the beautiful autumn wreaths. I got one last year, and it lasted me through January. Stay in touch with us at stHelenaFarmersMarket.org or on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back in 2 weeks, hosted by another of our board members. This has been the Farmers Fresh Hour, brought to you by American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather. which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.